there is a God. Amen. And only one. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Got to thinking about something concerning the Bible here. And I thought to myself, you know, what would happen if I had come to the Bible for the first time? And we're having to go way back in time now to remember that day. Just started reading the Bible for myself and just basically said, you know what, I'm not going to have any presumed idea about what this says. I'm just going to read it. And what would happen? What would I see? And as I started this exercise and started putting this message together and was doing that, it was really hard for me to go back to that time and pretend that I didn't already know some things about this. And so as I thought about how I would preach this, I kept thinking, well, I'd want to say this, and I'd want to say that, and I want to say this, and you couldn't, that'd just be verse 1. And then verse 2 of chapter 1, and I'd want to do this, and by the time you know it, we'd be down 3 verses, and I wouldn't have covered anything that really you would see if you had picked up the Bible to read it for the first time cold. So the best that we can, we're going to try to pretend, for some of us, that we are just reading the Bible for the first time, and the idea is, what are we seeing in the passages that are before us? And in Genesis chapter 1, I tell you, the first thing you're going to see is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, see what He has to say about this. Heavenly Father, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. There's such a great opportunity today, Lord, for You to do something with these words and with this preacher. But I've got to be out of the way. My thoughts have got to be out of the way. My desires or ambitions or anything else that I might think has to be out of the way. Lord, You've got to be able to take this vessel and use me in a way that You can minister to these folks that have come here today. Some have come for help. Some have come looking for Jesus Christ. Some have come knowing some things and wanting to know more. Some just want to be edified. Some love just being here and being encouraged by the words of God. I pray, Father, You will do what You want to do with these words for the sake of Your folks, and I ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, the first thing you're going to see then is you're going to see God's creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so as you continue reading down in verse 1 from there, you're going to find out that the Bible's testimony from the very beginning is that God made everything. You know, I was talking to a missionary one time that spent some time over in a country where they didn't know anything about the Bible, didn't know anything about God, didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, didn't know anything about salvation, nothing about the cross, never seen a cross or a crucifix or a rosary or a Bible or anything. And I said, where did you start with these folks? He said, I started in Genesis chapter 1 and let them know there was a creator. And he said, when that came clear to them, it removed the possibility of all of the gods. Then we could get down into God's history and then Jesus Christ and the whole thing. He said, we laid a very good foundation in creation and brought them to salvation. Now, one of the problems right away when you see Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is that if you already have a presumption that there is no way that God could have created this, or if you have a presumption that the Bible is merely a religious book written by religious men to try to explain our origin and our destiny, you will look at verse 1 and say, that can't be so. And if you don't believe verse 1, you're going to have trouble with the rest of the book. That's a problem. You know, it all hangs on this. Now, scientists who don't believe that God created everything have a difficulty when it comes to explaining how you got here. And I'll show you what the difficulty is. Because as you would keep reading in Genesis chapter 1, you would get to verse 20. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 says, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So you go to a restaurant and you order fish and fowl. They have a common connection in that they were brought forth from the waters abundantly. And then you go to verse 24, as you're reading, and it says, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. In other words, things come from water, and they come from dirt. Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, so in the order of, you've heard this, taxonomy. Taxonomy, this is what, that's the big word the scientists do. It just says, we're going to try to take this big tree of animals that exist, and we're going to try to work it backwards until we get to the root. And eventually what they do, going backwards, 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 by the way, I usually like to go forward, is that they end up with this, that men came from a mixture of water and dirt. And they call that thing the primordial soup. You ever heard that term before? Okay. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem. Once they get back to the water and the dirt, they hit a block and can't go back further. And what they will say, and what they're saying now is, you know what? We haven't found the answer that explains how that chain of amino acids started in that soup. But you know what? Within the next year, 10 years, we'll have an answer. Don't hold your breath. You will die. Don't hold your breath. Why? Because they're going to get back to the dust and they're going to get back to the water every time, and that they cannot go further than that. You know why? Because further than that is something they don't believe. Further than that is God. And they've already decided from Genesis 1:1, I don't believe that. Then you're going to remain ignorant of how you got here for the rest of your life. Not for the rest of your eternity. Because a split second after you die, you'll have it all figured out then. Oh, oops. And there'll be no going back to figure it out from there. All right? So they go back as far as that. Now, I don't want you to lose your place, because we're going to spend all of our time right here in the first three chapters of Genesis. You say, boy, this is going to be a long morning. Bear with me. We'll go fast. But I want you to just hold your place there and go over to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll show you why when the law of biogenesis was discovered. The law of biogenesis says that life comes from life. That is a law like the law of gravity. You can't get past the dirt and you can't get past the water going backwards, because unless you believe in God, because you have to start with life. Hebrews chapter 11, notice what the deal is in verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says this, through faith. Anybody here today have faith? I got some faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You're going to notice in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. God said, let there be a firmament. God said, let the earth bring forth. God said, let there be lights in the heaven. God said, let the waters bring forth. You see that? They were framed by the word of God. Watch it. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There was nothing here before God said, this house is going to start. So first thing that I notice right away when I read Genesis chapter 1 is, I notice God's creation. I notice that. It's very important for us to remember that he made everything around us. Second thing I notice when I'm reading in Genesis is, I notice God's design. God's design. When you read through here, you're reading something that's very orderly. Paul said to the Corinthian church, when they were all messed up by the tongues that infiltrated the church and the schisms that were there, he said, let everything be done decently and in order. And God is very orderly. Things happen on a very regular basis with the Lord. And so as you read through here, you understand that. God designed, for instance, in verses 6 through 9, that water that was covering the earth would be separated and now out beyond the universe, so that you have a firmament. We call outer space in there. Then he let the dry land appear, which is called earth, and he formed the seas with the waters that were remaining on the earth. Then he said, let the Earth bring forth grass, the herb yield. I'm in verse 11 if you're trying to keep up with my rapid reading here. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit. What are the next three words? After his kind. The earth, verse 12, brought forth grass and herb yielding seed. What are the next three words? After his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And then you get down here in verse 21, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after his kind, every winged fowl, after his kind. Do you think God's trying to help us to understand something here? Verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. Very specific design. God said, I want cattle to make cattle, and dogs to make dogs, and cats to make cats, and birds to make birds, and fish to make fish, and whales to make whales, and people to make people. Very specific design there. And people say, you know, when they don't believe that God created this, they say, well, I see enough similarity between a god, that fellow over there and an ape, that I think they came from each other. I also believe in the legalization of medical marijuana, wouldn't I? Oh, and that bat looks like that cat. Oh, oh. Look at all these wonderful Disney characters around here. Wow. Cool. Doesn't work like that. I was having a conversation with Kelly the other day after church, and it was just fabulous. Don't worry. No, this is good. She's over there like going, no, not me, please. People say, don't go to pastor and seek counsel. You'll be an illustration in his next sermon. No. You're safe. They say, you know, Neanderthal man looks like an ape. But you got to remember the guys that were living way back there before the flood lived to be 900 years old. You know what doesn't quit growing as you get older? Your ears. You know why? Because cartilage doesn't stop growing. Except in your knees. And bone doesn't quit growing either. You ever see the way that faces change? We get older and older and older. You look back at the kid when he was little and the bone, the head's all big and bony and all that. Just imagine if you lived to be 900 years old. And then, what was the word you used for the placement of the jaw? That thing. Pronaps? Pronathic. They stuck the jaw out a little bit in front. And you know what they made? A gorilla. That's it. You didn't get that? And they said, oh, look at that. We came from, no. They found a finger. You know, have you ever noticed that? They made a whole skeleton out of this little thing they found here. Oh, there's a tooth. Well, he looked like this. No, he didn't. He lived 250 billion years ago, and he was beating his wife with a stick. You know, it's just... They can tell you when the sun is going to rise 10 years from now. You know why? Because it has order, and it has design. He says in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 14, he said, I'm going to put lights in the firmament of the heaven, in verse 14, to divide the day from the night. And they're going to be there for signs and for seasons. Now, we have them around here. We have winter and we have spring. We have summer. You already had those. They happened during the missions conference. And for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the nights. He made the stars also. All that stuff is up there by design. People say, no, it just exploded. We don't know where the energy came from. We don't even know where the matter came from. It was out there somewhere. And boom, it blew up and it all just turned into this order. But it didn't. God put that out there. And you'll notice that design. And God divided it like that and said, that's called nighttime, that's called daytime. So you notice when you read Genesis chapter 1, his creation, you notice his design. And also you notice his image. Look in verse 26. God said, I'm still in chapter 1. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. It's amazing when you walk out there that coyotes run from you instinctively. But you have dominion, see? And the thing that is, man was not made in the image of an animal. Man was made in the image of God. And that's something that you notice right away. Now in chapter 2, verse 7, he goes into more detail about what this image is. He said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, that's his body, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that's his spirit, and man became a living soul. So you have a body, you have a spirit, and you have a soul. You're a triune being. I don't want to dwell on this because many of you already know what I'm going to tell you, but just tell you a little bit about it. It's important for you to know that you're not all just your body. Okay. Now your body, if it's made in the image of God, then Jesus is the body, right? That's God manifest in the flesh. Then there's the Holy Spirit, which matches the breath of life in you. And man became a living soul, and nobody's ever seen your soul. And you know what? That's like God the Father. The sun has heat rays you can feel. That's like the Holy Spirit. Light rays you can see. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And actinic rays, you won't know what those are till you get some actinic keratosis on your face. And then you know what those are. Those are rays that you can't feel and you can't see, like God the Father. If you reduce water down to a certain pressure and temperature in a vacuum, it reaches what's called the triple point. It becomes solid, liquid, and vapor all at the same time. It's all H2O. But it's a solid, it's a gas, and it's a liquid. All at the same time, it turns into ice and steam and water all at the same time. God the Father is one God, H2O, but he appears in three forms, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. The trouble with our generation these days, all the attention is being placed on the body. You get nutritional health magazines and exercise magazines and all that stuff, and so everything's on the body. Men are not nourishing their spirits and not nourishing their souls. And sometimes when they want to nourish their spirits today, they want to go to Eastern religions and get into ooey-ooeys. Not a good thing for your spirit. So you're in that. Now you say, well, I thought you were going to keep this basic. I am just kind of commenting on society today by the things you read in Genesis chapter 1. You know how I know you and your the animals that are out there are different? Turn to Ecclesiastes. You say, where's that? Well, it's in the Bible. Like James Hoffmeister says, Genesis, Exodus, Ecclesiastes. It's in there. Just go a little further. Now, if you know where Psalms and Proverbs are, okay, Psalms right in the middle, Proverbs next, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So you get to Psalms, turn right, Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes. More wisdom from Solomon. And notice that Solomon says there is a lot of similarity between man and beast, but watch this, verse 18, Ecclesiastes 3, 18. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. You animal. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Watch it. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. You see how the taxonomy of evolution leads you back to the dirt and so far as you can go. But look at the next verse, verse 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth, which direction? Upward. And the spirit of the beast that goeth, which direction? Downward to the earth. You're very, very different. You are made in God's image. And the spirit that's in you is a type of spirit that the Holy Spirit can affect with a message of salvation and bring your soul to Jesus Christ through the new birth of the Spirit of God. That doesn't happen to animals. So I notice God's creation, I notice His design, and I notice His image. And that's why one thing that's very important for us, when we got saved, we're all here together. That's why we need to love each other the way that Jesus Christ loved us, because you're in His image. Ooh, I didn't know God looked like that. Take care of God's image. I keep reading along here in Genesis chapter 2, and what do I find out? You know, I've seen God's creation. I've seen God's design. I've seen God's image. But what else have I seen? I've seen God's Word. Look in Genesis chapter 2 at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man. That's what men don't like. Don't tell me what to do. How are you when somebody tells you, you're going to mow the grass today, right now? Y'all like, oh man, I've just been waiting for you to tell me that. Thank you so much. And never, there's always something in here that goes, not me, pal. You might end up doing it, but it's with your eyes rolled and everything else, right? The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God's Word. God's Word. And may I tell you something? God's Word is how He governs everything that He made. In other words, the Bible. What is that thing? What's the B stand for? Basic. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. I want to tell you what, total instructions. Everything you ever needed to know about what God said, wanted you to do, or what was going to happen in the earth, how history was going to be governed, it's all right here in the pages of this book. Amen. It's all here. And you know how the deal is with the law, ignorance is no excuse, right? So it would do you a great deal of good to read God's book and see what He said. I will tell you something. If you go to that Bible and you do everything it says in preparing yourself to be a good husband, you will be a good husband. If you go to that Bible and read everything it says about being a good wife, and you do what it says about being a good wife, you'll be a good wife. Now, if you find a man that wants to be a good husband, you're going to have a happy marriage. But that isn't the way people do it. You know what they do? They go out with their eyeballs looking and with their ears listening for a mate. Like the call of the wild. You know, we get, you know, and then and that will run you into trouble sometimes. Amen? If you go to that Bible and you read everything that Bible says about how to be a good businessman, you know what? You'll end up being a good businessman. If you go to that Bible looking for everything the Bible says about how to be saved, you'll get saved if you believe it and follow it. You read in there what it says about what to do with money, you follow what it says, and it'll be there. And you'll do it right. It's an amazing book. It tells you everything that God wants you to know. And if you just simply follow what it says, it works out fine. Now, if Eve had followed what the Bible said, we wouldn't be here having to preach the gospel today. We'd be picking fruit off a tree. Boy, this is a rough life keeping this garden. But it's a nice place to live. We'd be on vacation all the time. But because she did not do what God said, and therefore Adam did not do what God said, then what happened is we ended up with a curse. Knowing and obeying His words are crucial. The rewards of obedience are absolutely blessed, and the curse of disobedience is death. Plain and simple. You know, it's an amazing thing. If I found myself in trouble and I wanted to get out of trouble, I would go to the Bible and I would see what it said about how to get out of the trouble I was in. I'd follow what it said. You say, how do you know that? I've already been there. I've already been stuck in that ditch. and I followed what it said and got out of the ditch and things were going well. Why? God controls everything he made with what he said. And he did exactly what he said he would do. The day they eat thereof, they died. You said, how? Spiritually. That's why you need to be born again by the Spirit of God. I notice something else when I read here. I notice God's marriage. It starts in verse 18, runs all the way to verse 25. And you know the story. This is where God made Adam sleep, took a rib, ripped him off. And from that rib made a woman. He said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Then I see something. I see God's marriage. I see his word and I see his marriage. You know what? We shouldn't be having this debate and discussion that we've been having in courts and in legislature. If you've got people that are of the same sex that want the privileges of marriage because they think that they belong together, all you got to do is stand on God's word and say, uh-uh. Say, we're going to protest. Protest all you want to. This is what God said. And we're going to go with what he said. Isn't that easy? Yeah, God's marriage is a man and a woman, and they get together for life. I mean, you know that it's one man and one woman because he only took how many ribs? One rib. Can you imagine if he really was for all the girlfriends you've had in your life? Boy, you'd be ribless. You've already been accused of being spineless, but you would be ribless. God didn't intend it for that way. This idea of going around shacking here, shacking there, till you find what you want to live with for the rest of your life, that's not God's plan. God's plan was you wait till you find a woman that you can live with for the rest of your life, and then that's where you go. Because why? God set it up this way. It's simple. You say, well, I don't like it that way. That's okay. Be patient. Once you get married, you'll find out it was really the best way to do it. All right? And then notice something else. I know I'm reading along in here. I'm just giving you some highlights. It's just amazing. The Bible in two chapters has had a lot of comment on kind of what's going wrong in our country. Haven't you noticed that? All right, I noticed something else. I noticed God's adversary. Look in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You say, I just can't believe that she fell for that listening to a rattlesnake in a tree. She should have been scared to death. I just can't believe that she did that with a python in the tree. She didn't. No, she didn't. I want you to get a look. God is telling you what this was that appeared to her. But I want you to see what she saw the day that he showed up. And keep your finger here and go to Ezekiel chapter 28. You say, where's that? Well, you've been to Ecclesiastes. So if you keep going, you get to a big prophet named Isaiah. And then you get to a big prophet named Jeremiah. And then you get to a big prophet named Ezekiel. Jeremiah and Ezekiel are separated by a little book called Lamentations. Ezekiel chapter 28. Does anybody remember Ezekiel chapter 28? Does anybody remember when the Lord wanted to rebuke the devil, he pointed him out in Peter and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Anybody, y'all remember that episode? Okay. Here, the Lord is talking to the king of Tyrus, but he's speaking to the devil when he does, just like he was speaking to the devil when he talked to Peter. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, son of man. Ezekiel 28, 12, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We're not talking about a slimy old snake. Look, thou hast been in Eden. That's been in Eden. Well, there were only four people there. That serpent, Adam and Eve, and the Lord God. So we know who we are talking about right here. Look what he looked like. Thou hast been indeed in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Liberace had nothing on you. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, he's musical, and of thy pipes. Isaiah 14 said he also has viols. Those are stringed instruments. was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub. When he showed up as a cherub. That covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. And he goes on down the explanation. What he did is he appeared to be something beautiful and allured her with his beauty, and then said, in opposition to God's words, yea, hath God said. Listen, all I've got to do to mess you up in the Bible is just get you to doubt what you're reading is true. That's all. If I can cause you to doubt it, the rest of it takes over for itself. Because as you see, and we won't go into every detail because it's another lesson, but you see through the temptation, they ended up adding to the words of God, subtracting from the words of God, changing the words of God, and lying about the words of God. And it all started by doubting the words of God. God has an adversary, and his goal is to get you separated from that book, or to get you into something that looks like this book that isn't his book. That's his goal. That's all he has to do. And he is very deceptive because he never comes in looking like what he really is. Never. God has an adversary. Let me tell you what, when the devil shows up, the Bible says he has transformed himself into an angel of light. He's the anointed cherub. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They're both anointed. They're both light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. See that? They both have a city. Jesus has New Jerusalem. The devil has Mystery Babylon, the great. See? And if you run down that thing, they both have a bride, the whore of the book of Revelation, the bride of Christ. You run down that thing, they are so closely aligned, the devil has counterfeited him so closely that you think you're following the real thing when you are not, but you're following the wrong thing. And that's what tripped up Eve. And the only way that she could have had any discernment is to continue to believe what God had said. God rules everything in his universe that he made by his word. So we see God's adversary. May I tell you something? His adversary is alive and well today. I mean, you've been looking, what the thing is, you've been looking for the pitchfork and the horns and the tail and the smoke and the smell of rotten eggs. He doesn't show up like that. He shows up, make you think he's Jesus Christ. And he's not. All right? They fell for it. They ate the fruit. You know that. May I just say something about God's adversary? Once he's tripped you up, you know what your nature is? Your nature is to hide it, deny it, cover it, and blame somebody else. That's your problem. That's your problem. That's all of our problems. The nature of man, when tripped up by the adversary, is to say, I do these things because of my parents. You scoundrel. They've been paying your bills, cleaning up your diaper when you were a baby, feeding you and making sure you have food on the table, driving you back and forth to school, taking care of you. Sure, there may be some genetic connection, and maybe you do see some things that they had trouble with going on in your life, but it's not their fault. You chose to make the decisions you made. Yeah, that's right. Hey, Adam, did you eat that fruit? Well, the woman that thou gavest me. She gave to me, and I did eat. Woman, did you give him that fruit? The devil, just call me Flip Wilson, made me do it. And they covered themselves with fig leaves to pretend that it had never happened. I know you. You sinned when you were a kid, and you didn't cover it up and try to pretend you hadn't done it at all, did you? Huh? That's the nature of man. After you've had a confrontation with God's adversary, the devil. May I tell you something? Your attempt to cover it up and your attempt to blame somebody else doesn't stop it, because the next thing we see in here is God's curse. God's curse, Genesis chapter 3. You say, we're getting close to the end? Yeah, we're getting there. Just be patient. Be patient. God's curse, he says in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee, that is the devil, and the woman. We're Genesis 3:15. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband until you become a member of the National Organization of Women and the ERA, and then he doesn't have to rule over you anymore. No, the curse is you got to have somebody for the rest of your life telling you what to do. Your dad till you're married, and your husband from then on. Isn't that fun? You better marry a guy you don't mind following. Because it isn't going to be fun to begin with, but... it really ain't going to be fun if you don't want him ruling over you. That's the curse! That's the curse. Then he says to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. That's another sermon. And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth of thee. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shall I eat thy bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Not a good sight. And I tell you what, from this day on, God has been blamed. Why are there so many bad things that happen to good people? Because your great-great ancestor was a jerk. He disobeyed God. And you know the people that raise their fist up in God's face now and say, hey, why has this happened to me? I bet they've never disobeyed God, not one day in their life. You know, it's a funny thing. This is a cursed earth. And things bad happen in a cursed earth. They do. But I know something else I read in here. I don't only read God's curse. I read this. I read God's remedy. I read God's remedy. They covered themselves with fig leaves. God said that won't do it. In verse 21 of Genesis chapter 3, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. You know what I'm clothed in today? A robe of righteousness. He said, no, you're not. You're dressed in a suit you bought down at the men's warehouse. That too. This is what you see. But the Lord covered me in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ the day I received him as my Savior. And by that, fine linen, white and clean, which is the righteousness of saints, awaiting me in heaven. You know, God has a remedy for that curse. How many of you go to work and you actually don't mind doing it? Okay, I didn't, two hands, okay. Okay, that didn't work. Let's try another one. They always say in the court of law, don't ever ask a question you're not sure the answer to. It reminds me one time that guy was in court and he asked the witness, he says, Mr. Johnson, what did you see? He said, well, I saw that man over there beating that woman right there. You mean you're talking about that man right there? Yes, sir. You talking about that woman right there? Yeah. Did you know they were husband and wife? No, I didn't. But he said, "Boy, I sure so he was. I was standing catty corner, and I'm telling you, he was beating on that woman." Mr. Johnson, he said, "I see here in the police report that you're, and I see today that you're a man that wears glasses. Were you wearing your glasses that day?" "No, sir, I wasn't wearing that glasses." He said, "Well, I only have one more question. How far can you see without your glasses?" He said, "Well, I can see the moon. How far is that?" Don't ever ask a question you don't know the answer to. So let me rephrase that question. I know you don't like going to work, okay, because that's part of the curse. No. You know what? Once you get God's remedy, the things you have to put up with in the curse aren't so bad anymore. The happiest women on earth are the women who get saved and marry a saved man, and then they both follow the Scripture. It's not as painful as all this you have to go here. Is childbirth still painful? Yes, unless you can get an epidural. Do women greatly have multiplied sorrow? Absolutely. Like old Dr. Upman said, he said, when the kids are little, they'll step on your apron strings, and when they get older, they step on your heart strings. Yeah, they're sorrow. And they have names for some of the things that you go through. And and you have to deal with. And it's not fun having a man rule over you. But I tell you what, there's a remedy. And when you get saved and you've got a godly man and you propose to be a godly woman, you know what happens? It's okay. It's okay because you got a remedy that says, not only am I going to give you some happiness and joy to get through this life now, and not only am I going to cover you with the coats of skin, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they covered themselves with fig leaves to profess their own righteousness. God had to kill innocent animals to make coats of skin to cover them. You see? And he killed his innocent son, Jesus Christ, that you and I might have a remedy for the curse of the disobedience in our own lives and that from our great ancestors that brought this thing down to us. I don't want to shake my fist in God's face and say, why is this happening to me? I want to raise my hands to God and say, thank you for dying for me and giving me the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and anything that happens from now on is better than I deserve. Whole different attitude when you get the right covering. I see and hear God's remedy, and I know that Jesus Christ is the remedy for sin. Because in Genesis 3:15, that seed of the devil, or that devil, bruises the heel of Jesus Christ. They did that on Calvary. But Jesus Christ crushes the head of that serpent. And he does that when he returns and chains him up for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit and sets things right down here. I'm looking forward to that day. You know, I'm not going to follow the scientists who want me to believe that I came from a monkey. I can act like one. And I like them. And I like bananas. There are a lot of similarities. But I'm not going that way. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 1, I saw God didn't make it like that. He made us special. He made us in His image and gave us a spirit to communicate with Him, that through obedience to the words of God, we can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, be covered by His shed blood, and have a remedy for a curse that takes everybody else in a direction we don't want to go. Thank God for this book. If a man reads Genesis chapter 1 through 3 and he goes, you know what, I don't think I believe that, he's going to be a wreck from then on. He reads that first three chapters there and he sees that God has a design, God has an order, God has a creation, God has a word. And he says, you know what I think I'm going to do? Instead of me trying to be the boss, I'm going to get in line with him. So everything's going to work out better for him. Doesn't it work out better for you? Oh, it sure works out better for me. Let me say this to you and then we're going to close. Don't let these guys that are pounding away and hacking at the foundation of this scripture by criticizing all these things you've seen in the first three chapters, don't let that bother you. God has an adversary and he's not going to give up till he's chained. You just stay with the stuff that you know to be true from the scripture and you'll be fine. The other thing I want to say to you is if you're here today and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something, there is a covering and you just need to quit pretending that you don't have a problem. And you need to just quit hiding from God. You just need to quit blaming your circumstances and everything else in life for your problems. You know what you need to do? You just need to say, can I get some of that? I'll take the covering. I'll receive Jesus Christ. And you know what? He'll fix it up for you. He'll fix it up for you. You say, starting when? Right now. Right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for an opportunity to look in the Bible and notice there are a lot of things in here that are really, really good and really, really true. We've just taken a very basic, a very casual, a very almost childlike view of the things that you've written in the first three chapters of Genesis. And boy, we've come away with profound truth. Come away believing the first three chapters. Father, we have an explanation for things that people can't explain and an understanding of things that PhDs who don't believe this Bible will never understand. And I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be faithful stewards of these words and live according to them. I'm also asking today, Father, today, if there's somebody here, Lord, that has just not settled this thing with you once and for all, that they come to Jesus Christ and trust you personally as their Savior. And just get out of the fig leaves and get into the coats of skin, the robes of righteousness, under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.